Kept you waiting. Come right over. Ah, you're here. Good. Take the easy chair by the window. Comfortable?
Shalom and welcome to another issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. I'm your host, Phil Chernofsky, and this show is for Shabbat HaGadol, Parshat Tzav, the pre-Pesach, although Imir Tzashem next Thursday will be the real pre-Pesach show, or we could call that one the Pesach show, and this makes this one the pre-Pesach show, which fits nicely with the concept of Shabbat HaGadol, as I hope to explain. In the meantime, recording and first broadcast, Yom Chamishi, Thursday, the sixth day of the month of Nisan, 5772, and the 29th of March. Let's not forget and delay it as much as last week. Tehillim 1, Psalm 121, Tehillim Kuf Kaf Aleph. Shir Lama'alot Esa Einai El Heharim Me'ayin Yavo Ezri. Ezri me'im Adonai osei shamayim va'aretz. Al yitein lamot raglecha, al yanum shomerecha. Hine lo yanum v'lo yishan shomer Yisrael. Adonai shomerecha, Adonai tzilecha al yad yeminecha. Yomam hashemesh lo yakeka v'yoreach balayla. Adonai yishmorcha mikol ra, yishmor et nafshecha. Adonai yishmor tzeitecha uvoecha, me'ata v'yad olam. Achinu kol beit Yisrael, hanetunim batzara uvashivya, and let's definitely include Jonathan Pollard, not as an afterthought, but as a main example of one of our brothers that is in a situation of tzara and shivya. Haomedim bein bayam uvein bayabasha, hamakom yirachem aleihem, viyotzieim mitzara lirvacha umeyafela laora, ומשיבוד לגאולה, השתה בעגלה ובזמן קריב, ונאמר אמן. Okay, before we get down to the verbal business, let's have a song, because if I start talking, there won't be enough room for a song. And this song is, the words come from the Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol, the well-known prophecy of Hine Anochi Sholeach Lachem, Et Eliyahu HaNavi, I am sending you, Elijah the prophet, lifnei bo yom Hashem HaGadol v'hanora, before that great day at the end of time comes. And this gives the name to Shabbat HaGadol. HaGadol, meaning the great, would not be the appropriate way of saying the adjective if it referred to Shabbat. Because Shabbat is feminine, it would be Shabbat HaGedolah, which we don't say. We say Shabbat HaGadol. So that either comes from Yom Shabbat HaGadol, making it masculine because of Yom Shabbat, or the use of the term Gadol, the masculine, is meant to preserve the word from the Haftorah in the prophecy of Malachi, of Yom Hashem HaGadol V'Hanora. Either way, it's Shabbat HaGadol, it's the Shabbat before Pesach. There are many reasons given for the term Shabbat HaGadol, but I would like to instead present it as a very special, clever, wise introduction that our sages gave to Pesach. On Passover, we will start from the beginning. We start out in slavery, and we have the birth of the Jewish nation in the form of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus from Egypt. The Haftarah, speaks about the complete redemption of the future. And it links mitzvah and Torah observance with the promise of that redemption. This is not to say that redemption can't happen if people don't keep mitzvot, but it works out much better if they do. I'll see if I could explain that in a moment also. The Navi says, Zichru Torat Moshe Avdi, remember the teachings of Moses, my servant, which I commanded him at Horev for all Israel, decrees and ordinances, chukim and mishpatim. Immediately after, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet, before the great and awesome day of Hashem. He shall restore the heart of the fathers to children, and the heart of children to their fathers, lest I come and strike the land with destruction. And that's the end of Malachi, but we don't let it stay that way. We repeat the previous verse, Hinei Anochi Sholeach Lachem, behold, I send you Elijah the prophet before the great and awesome day of Hashem. And that's how we end the Haftorah. The point that I'm trying to make is implication of a concept that we have elsewhere, that redemption will happen whether we deserve it or not, whether we are ready or not. But the process of redemption, if we're not ready for it, if we have not become a good Torah Jewish society that takes care of its people, including the poor and including the elderly and the infirm, and who practices mitzvot sincerely, not in the hollow sense that the Navi very often speaks about, of going through the motions and paying lip service, but not really, really meaning and believing. There are people who do this. There have to be more. So if we are not ready for the Geula Shelema, it will come, A, at its preordained time, which could be sometime in the future, and it will not leave the people unscathed. There will be hardships and other things, which I don't even want to use the words, in order to prepare us for the Geula. If we take the initiative, continue the initiative of earning and deserving the redemption, because we cling tenaciously to the Torah and mitzvot, because we observe enthusiastically, and we bring our fellow Jews along in a pleasant way, then I believe that there will be a point in time, I hate to use that expression, before the deadline for Geula, and God will say, so to speak, no reason to delay any further. All of the things that were wrong have been repaired and corrected. The next step is the final redemption, the complete redemption. And then it comes, A, earlier, and B, with less problems for us. So when we're about, in this year, it's a week later, and sometimes it's a day later, when we are about to start all over again, to start our cycle of the year with Pesach, with the reliving of the birth of the nation, our sages put right up front this repeat of a prophecy so that we should keep it in mind as we start from scratch and maybe do things in our own lives as people and as Jews to change for the better and hasten the coming of the Geula. This is why we speak of, I believe with all my heart, that the Mashiach will come. The afal pi sheyit mameach, even though he seems to linger, I still believe that he'll come. But that's not enough. You have to be proactive in hastening the coming of Mashiach. Now this is interesting because I said I wanted to get that music on the show before I got lost in talking, and I've been talking, so no more talking, and right now from an album, I think it is the album of David Streicher, son of Michael Streicher, called Mizmor LeDavid, and the name of the song is Hine Anochi. We'll be right back. David Streicher with Hinei Anochi, and you might have noticed that it added text, not just the verse that I referred to before from the Haftarah, but it still speaks of Eliyahu. And speaking of Eliyahu, at the Seder table, when we are reliving and re-experiencing Yetziat Mitzrayim and the birth of the nation, we still focus as the tone was set, or will have been set, with Shabbat HaGadol. We do it at the Seder as well. Follow what I'm saying. Shabbat HaGadol speaks of the complete redemption. The harbinger of the complete redemption, according to our tradition, is Eliyahu HaNavi. We state that when we read the Haftarah of Shabbat HaGadol, but we state it in every single Birkat HaMazon. Every time we bench after a meal, it's Harachaman, who yishlach lanu et Eliyahu HaNavi, zachur latov. Vivaser lanu, besoro tovot, yeshuot v'nechamot. So that's there all the time. And at the Seder table, the cup of Eliyahu, a very memorable feature of one's Seder, comes at the end of the Seder. We still have a whole bunch of things after it, but those were added later, once upon a time. Kos Shel Eliyahu and Lishana Haba B'Yerushalayim HaBenuya was the end of the Seder. And that's appropriate because the Seder itself focused on the beginning of the Jewish nation, on the first redemption of the people from Egypt, and the cup of Eliyahu is that reminder of the redemption of the future. And the singing of L'shana haba b'Yerushalayim habenuya, next year in rebuilt Jerusalem, carries the same thing. And it's not just at the end of the Seder that we do this, we do it at the beginning. Ha'lach ma'anya, a passage very early in the Seder, which is purposely in Aramaic, because at the time that it was, that the Haggadah was edited and composed, the vernacular of the people was Aramaic, and therefore the Baalei Haggadah will call them wanted to make sure that everybody understood what they were saying, rather than the many Hebrew passages that might have gone over their heads sometimes. So in Aramaic we say, Hoshata Hocha, now we are here, Lashon Haba Ba'ara de Yisrael. That was composed when the majority of the Jews were in Bavel, Babylonia, and it spoke of the longing for return to Eretz Yisrael in the context of the Seder. A little bit later in the Seder, towards the end of the Magid section, what I like to call the bridge between telling the story and singing praise to God because of it, is the Dayenu. That song continues or finishes up the story when it starts with Ilu Hotzianu Mimitzrayim, had you taken us out of Egypt and not done such and such, we would have Dayenu, sufficient reason to say thank you. And it goes all the way through the Exodus and through the Red Sea and to Mount Sinai and the receiving of the Torah, previously the receiving of the Shabbat and entry into Eretz Yisrael and the building of the Beit HaMikdash, to which a person could say, well, wait a minute, we've just got carried away here. We started talking about the Exodus. That's what we're supposed to be talking about this night, the redemption from slavery to freedom. And now you're singing a song which started out on the topic of the night, but then you kept going, and you're already at Har Sinai, which is Shavuot, really, and you went into Eretz Yisrael, which is sort of Shmini Atzeret, which means you've gone through the whole cycle of the festivals, including the building of the Beit HaMikdash. And that's the point. That's another example where there is a focus at the Seder table, just as there was in the Haftorah of Shabbat HaGadol. Several times in the Seder, we have this reminder of the future, the final redemption, the complete redemption, the Geula Shleima. Another example of this is what we do with Afikoman. You take a matzah, middle matzah of the three, you break it, you take the smaller piece to keep for eating at the Seder, at the Hamotzi point later, and the larger portion is saved for the future. The future in the case of the Seder table is only at the end of the meal when we eat the matzah again, and that's the last thing we eat at the Seder. So that represents Geula, the matzah of redemption, and part of it gets eaten, commemorative of the first redemption from Egypt, and part of it gets saved to remind us of the final redemption, which is represented by the Afikoman. We will be back in Yirtzeh Hashem with more Torah Tidbits audio for Parshat Tzav, Shabbat HaGadol.
וקידשתנו במצווי סכו ורימתנו מכל על שוינויס וקידשתנו במצווי סכו וקירבתנו מלכנו אוי לאב אוי דסכו ושימחו הגודוי והקודוש עולנו קורוסו
Welcome back. I guess you figured out that you were listening to Torah Tidbits Audio. I decided to start the second half with a medley from A Taste of Yom Tov, the Pesach volume. It's called the opening medley, and it's put out by Taste of Yom Tov. I don't know who that is. It says here, produced by Ali Bear. And it's recorded in Yerushalayim, and the music is by Suki Berry, and a bunch of other things as well. So, we'll leave it at that, and now let's talk Pesach. As I said, even though Amir Tzashem, next Thursday, we will have a show for right before Pesach, there's plenty to talk about, and we could begin now. The experience of Yetziat Mitzrayim, the Exodus, is extremely central and fundamental for Jewish life. God, when he introduces himself at the Sinai experience, the Matan Torah, the giving of the Torah, begins with the words, Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am Hashem, your God, Asher Hotzeiticha me'eretz Mitzrayim mi'beit avadim, who took you out of Egypt from the house of bondage. He does not say, I am the God who created the world, although he is. In fact, as a side point, commentaries discuss that issue and say that since the events that these people who are hearing these words who were alive and went through the various plagues in Egypt as spectators, they saw God as the one who took them out of Egypt. They saw God as the one who had such control over nature that he was able to violate every law of nature in order to produce these plagues. And the conclusion was, he is the one who created the world and nature and everything in it. Because only the one who could do that can do the things that happened, which they saw. One way or the other, God chooses to introduce himself to us at that moment as Anochi Hashem Elokecha, I am the God who took you out of Egypt. We have in the Torah, which we quote at the Seder table, L'ma'an tizkor et yom tzeitecha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, in order to remember the day that you came out of Egypt all the days of your life. That is a constant command. We are obligated to remember the Exodus every single day of the year. One of the major ways that is fulfilled is the recitation of the full Shema, where the third passage contains in its final verse, Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am God who took you out of Egypt. I am Hashem. So the recitation of the Shema twice a day, once in the morning, once at night, meaning day and night, every single day throughout the year, we are commanded and we fulfill the command, for those who say the Shema, with the understanding that this is not focused and localized on Pesach, but this is all the time. Comes Friday night, not this Friday night, any Friday night, and we make Kiddush, and we speak of Shabbat being Zecher Lema'aseh V'Reshit, a commemorative of creation, and Zecher L'Yitziat Mitzrayim, commemorative of the Exodus. So that every week, in addition to every single day, on Shabbat, in addition to the Shema which we say on Shabbat also, we have the command, the fulfillment rather, of remembering Yitziat Mitzrayim. A man puts on tefillin 6 days of the week. The tefillin contain portions from the Torah that link the wearing of tefillin to remembering the Exodus from Egypt. There are many, many mitzvot. I apologize for not having the exact number. One of these days I'm going to try to get a count. But there are mitzvot which we have not directly related to time, mitzvot that are here and there, scattered throughout a Jew's life, which are expressly described as being commemorative of the Exodus. We have the command not to take advantage of a convert to Judaism, a convert meaning someone without a family background related to Judaism, without a support system of friends and family, and he's vulnerable being new to Judaism. We're not allowed to take advantage of him. Wait. We're not allowed to take advantage of any fellow Jew, or any fellow for that matter, human being. And yet the Torah, which also says that, says not to treat a ger that way, a stranger. Because you were strangers in a strange land, because you were in Egypt. Now there's a lot to say about that, which I'm not going to now. It's very puzzling sometimes, because on the one hand we're using the term ger as a convert to Judaism, and in another context, the word ger is used as a stranger in our midst, and because we were strangers in a strange land, we have to treat not so much the stranger in our midst, but the convert to Judaism. The bottom line, however, is that our sensitivity towards certain people among us is shaped by the fact that we had an experience, including negative experiences, and we have to learn lessons from that as well. Mitzvah after mitzvah, discuss the link to Yetziat Mitzrayim. The Kiddush that I described before on Friday night, same idea we say in the Kiddush of every Yom Tov. And of course, when we say it on Pesach, we understand its connection to the Exodus. But we say it on Shavuot also, and we make a connection. We say it on Sukkot, and even on Rosh Hashanah. Everything gets connected to Yetziat Mitzrayim. Our identity of a people was shaped by the Exodus experience, was further shaped by revelation at Sinai, and I guess you could say was further shaped by being brought to Eretz Yisrael, the land of Israel. And all of these go into impact on who we are. And that's a message of every day, of every week, and a special focus, of course, of Pesach. So at the same time that we have a verse, which we actually quote at the Seder table, of Lema'an tizkoret yom tzedcha me'eretz Mitzrayim kol yemei chayecha, all the days of your life, we also have V'higadta levincha bayom ha'uleimor, you shall tell your child on that day, saying, Ba'avur zeh, because of this, our ancestors were taken out of Egypt, or God took us out of Egypt. And we learn from there that in addition to the requirement of every day and every week to remember the Exodus, there is an extra special focus on the eve of the 15th of Nisan, the anniversary of that very first time that we came out of Egypt, that we went out of Egypt. I see all of the above like a beautiful diamond ring. The diamond has a beautiful setting to hold it, has little gemstones around it, framing it, and the ring itself is a valuable part of the whole picture. It's not like a piece of string to which attached a diamond. The ring itself is a work of beauty. So that if you picture, close your eyes and picture this kind of ring that I'm trying to describe, you can say that the ring itself represents the everyday, twice a day at least, reminder of the Exodus in the form of the Shema, and the setting of the diamond and the stones, little stones around it, represent perhaps the Kiddush we say on Friday night and other nights, and other mitzvot that remind us of the Exodus, or should remind us. And the diamond itself is Pesach, the seven-day holiday of Pesach, specifically, but not exclusively, the first night when we celebrate the Seder. Now this message, and all other messages of the Seder night, of which there are far too many to focus on each year, each Seder, even when you have two of them. I have this fond memory of my father, Zichrono Livracha, after he reached his limit of hearing explanations to different passages in the Haggadah and the discussion around the table, would say on the first night, save something for tomorrow night. And that's how I grew up, like many people who are listening to this show, with two Seders. We refer to the Seders, the Sedarim, a first Seder, a second Seder. Then some of us come on Aliyah. And all of a sudden, there's only one Seder. It takes getting used to. But I digress. Let's get back on track, because we don't have that much more time for this issue of Torah Tidbits Audio. At the Seder, we have a model that really is meant to teach us how to transmit Jewish knowledge and Jewish experience from one generation to the next. I had this experience, I'm sure veteran listeners might remember my saying it before. One Sukkot, my young daughter at the time, sitting in the high chair, looked around in the sukkah, and with a half chuckle asked why are we eating here? Why aren't we eating in the dining room? Sounded to me just like Manishtana. And I realized right then that you don't say to the child, what are you asking me questions? What do you think this is, Pesach night? You say, no, excellent question. Because the question, why is this night different from all other nights, has variations throughout all of Judaism. Why is Shabbat different from the days of the week? Why is anything that we do different from other people? And all of those questions need answers, not just what the book says to say, but you need to personalize answers. The Seder experience has to be one where everybody participates, not just the Seder leader. Every adult needs also halachically to be part of the transmission of that kind of knowledge from one generation to the next. And if a child at the Seder knows almost everything, you have to find that part that's missing from his knowledge and teach him more. It has to be a dynamic process, and it grows with the child and into adulthood and beyond. There has never been a Pesach that I could remember that I haven't had a new insight, a new understanding to something that I could have probably said, been there, did it, and I realize that I haven't been there and I haven't done it in that particular way. It's a growing process. Men and women, boys and girls, all have to participate. And that means not to just read the Haggadah, not to just stand the kid up on a chair and have him recite Manishtana. That's fine for a little kindergarten kid. But anyone else needs to ask real questions of something that they are puzzled by. And they need real, personalized answers to those questions. That's what Pesach teaches us. That's how you really observe Pesach, and you observe Judaism all the time. This concept of v'higadto levincha, you shall tell your child, that's the Seder. But v'shinantam levanecha, that you teach and review Torah with your children, that's always, every single day of the year, which parallels the point that I made earlier. On that note, I will wish you a great Shabbat HaGadol and a Chag Kasher V'Sameach, which I hope to wish you next week as well, and L'Hishtameach.